Taran, a gateway wandering beyond. Directed and produced by Kamush.
بشنو اینجا پرش داریم به بالا از نی همون صدای تکرار میشه بشنو از نی چون رو از بالا با کشش میارم به صداهای پایین تر چون حکایتم پله پله میاد پایین حکایت یتم دوتا صداست یت می کند اشاره به نوت قبل کندم دوتا صدا میاد پایین
Since childhood, art has been a reminder of life, especially during the hardest times when life felt constrained for me and those around me. And it's also something that connects me to other places, other people, other beings, whether from my own time, the past, or the future. It also connects me to other ways of relating to my body and heart, to plants, animals, stones, soil, and water. It's a kind of merging with space or a dance between different rhythms and timelines of life, all while embracing both humor and impermanence.
ببینین آدم وقتی که تو جامعه هست، وقتی دور و برش خیلی شلوغه، وقتی دور و برش خیلی به اصطلاح به هم ریخته است، الان جامعه‌ای که ما داریم جامعه‌ای که رفت و آمد به نوعی افراد وقتی میشینید کنارشون همش از میخوام یه ماشین فلان خونه فلان اینا این بعدای
زندگی you see when you're out in society when there is a lot going on around you when everything is kind of chaotic I mean what we have now in our society there is this hustle and bustle where people are constantly on the move and when you feel like to sit next to someone, talk, or you want to socialize, it's all about this car, that house, this amount of money, that, I mean, that property. When you think about it, you realize, what's the point? It's all meaningless.
But becoming a great calligrapher.
Or someone who does something truly useful for the community.
Or a good scientist.
Even if it's just being a good gardener, planting a couple of trees so someone can benefit.
That aspect of being useful,
whether for society, for humanity, or just for the sake of being human. I think that's a real need. The kind of need that fulfills a person's spiritual and emotional side. And you have to nourish that part of yourself.
When do you seek refuge in literature and when in painting? When and where do you desire both at the same time? What drives you to pick up a pen, pencil, book, notebook, paper, or blank sheets?
I don't know whether to say fortunately or unfortunately, but anyway, when the revolution started brewing in 1977, universities were almost shut down. That was a huge blow. 77 was basically the beginning of the revolution. And that's when universities started closing. Classes weren't held, midterms weren't conducted. We were forced into a new reality. Different questions emerged. What will happen to the future of the country? Where is everything heading? We felt its impact at home too. And my father especially was rather strict about hijab and religious matters. All of this pushed us away from our normal lives. There was no more painting classes anymore. No more English classes. Nothing. Everything had changed. When the revolution replaced the previous ways of thinking, our society shifted from one focused on competition for expensive clothes or cars or houses to a different mindset. After the revolution, these competitions largely disappeared, and a greater sense of unity emerged among the people. The spirit of helping each other was evident during the revolution. People would assist one another on the streets, everywhere. If someone didn't have oil, others would bring it to them. Or if someone lacked transportation, they would give them a ride and take them where they needed to go. This sense of responsibility drove me to want to help others, particularly in the unprivileged areas. In 1980, when universities were still closed, I decided to go to Sistan and Balochistan and serve there. I went, but for family reasons, I had to return after my parents no longer allowed me.
For me, being an artist means being close to life and people. One of the places where I found this was when I joined Khamush, next to others who all come from different places and also interests, but then gathering together as a collective, a community. I truly experienced how collaborative work expands my own thoughts. I also think being an artist is linked to both my local habitat and identity, and as something universal, like a common language that can reach from the simplest to the most complex and yet unknown. I'm searching for this essence, particularly in the sonic world. Now, I'm curious what made you interested in collective work and Khamush at the beginning, which I know was called the everyday, right? And speaking about the everyday, how did living on Geshem Island change your everyday life? How did it impact the way you practice architecture, or even the way you see linguistics? I look forward to reading your next letter, January 21st, 2025, in the airplane and above the clouds, flying towards Tehran. I hope to see you soon.
I thought how wonderful it would be to be an artist and to live like one. But living like an artist is very different from making a living as an artist. I'm at a point in life where not only must I earn my livelihood through art, but I also have to justify my immigration status with numbers and figures that claim to measure my artistic value. Numbers that have nothing to do with my actual life. At the same time, I want to support those I care about, to afford some of life's basic necessities with my art, and to find a way to reconcile these two worlds, or at least navigate spaces where this contradiction isn't too deep.
Maybe that's why Khamush has become so important to me. I feel that being in Khamush helps me better understand my thoughts and find ways to articulate them. Writing in Persian calligraphy, with all its rules and structures, is a lot like linguistics. But both language and writing, even in their simplest forms, go beyond mere structure and form. They have rhythm, melody, sometimes even breath. They convey meaning, however small or incomplete. Take Persian script, for example. Somewhere it stretches, somewhere it contracts, as if it's a kind of visual music. Over time, these two fields merged in my mind. The more seriously I took linguistics, the deeper this connection became. Calligraphy moved beyond the pen, ink, and elongated strokes and forms and movements. It became a system of symbols, carrying layers of history and culture. On the other hand, linguistics was no longer just a science about language. It became a way of thinking, a lens for seeing and understanding the world and people, like art.
My first attempts to express my emotions in a meaningful way were through writing poetry. It all started back in middle school and high school. The atmosphere at home was, before anything else, deeply infused with poetry, and writing remains one of my sanctuaries. After poetry came music. I had loved music since childhood and was always drawn to instruments. In 2007, I attended my first Sanfu class, and that's where my music story began. Now, I mostly focus on research. There isn't much time left for playing instruments or practicing. I don't go to player reading sessions anymore, nor do I follow up art projects. There's just no time. I need to earn more, work more. Sadly, as you know, life's realities sometimes don't let you be adventurous. At some point, the cost of adventure just gets too high. Still, my dream is to one day compose a song, one that can actually be recognized, and it's that sense. Maybe art feels a bit more authentic to me than research. Just a little. Just a little. January 16th, 2025, Babulsar, Rami.
شیرین معاصر هستم، 61 سالمه، هم مینیاتوریستم.
My name is Shirin Moser. I'm 61 years old. I'm a miniaturist, meaning negargar, a term used today and maybe even by older generations. But I think we just call it painting, Iranian painting. I'm also a textile designer. It was my job. It was how I made a living. But actually, I started painting seriously when I went to France, when I started studying. By then, the revolution had happened and Iran's universities were closed. Some things were also becoming dangerous. I didn't want to leave Iran, but my parents decided that I should leave, against my will.
موقع انقلاب شده بود، دانشگاه ایران تعطیل شده بود.
Over there in Bazaar, I had to work like them. The professors told me to practice like them because they didn't believe in it. They didn't even acknowledge Persian painting as real painting. Yeah, they would say things like, you don't even have visual arts. And I'd say, we have so much architecture, we have miniature, we have carpets, and it made me somehow sad. The professors didn't know anything about our culture, and the way they categorized art was so different. For them, miniature painting was just book art.
They classified and separated everything. But in our culture, the arts were always interconnected. A painting could be part of the wall inside a home. A carpet was our greatest art form. It was something we lived with and even slept on. So, you know, art and craft weren't separate from life.
در واقع یه جور حفظ خودم بود، حفظ فرهنگ خودم و ریشه هام بود. و
بعد یه تحریر داره، یار، دو تا صدا میرم بالا، یار، بعد برمیگرم روی پایینی، بعد یه پله میبرمش بالا، داد آه آه. اینجا میگم دادای آی دارارام.
من Sadra Amoui hastam taqriban.
I'm Sadra Amoui. It's been almost 10 to 12 years since I seriously decided to practice art. I studied acting and directing for my bachelor's degree at Bohonar University of Kerman, and currently I'm a master's student in acting at University of Art in Tehran. In my opinion, an artist, regardless of anything, dedicates themselves to art. Particularly an Iranian artist who may never reach a point where art becomes their main job. I believe this is true in all fields, and maybe that's why I consider myself an artist. I'm someone who's been fighting for years, dedicating myself to art to ensure that I can continue on this path always. The reality is that to be acknowledged, especially in theater, you must at some point be in Tehran. As an artist living in northern Iran, I'm unwilling to give up the wonderful weather, nature, tranquility, and that good feeling the flowers, plants, and trees in exchange for living in a polluted city like Tehran. Yet, you're forced to go to Tehran to work in theater or cinema. This terrible centralization continues to grow year by year. I've always tried to continue creating art in any way possible. For example, even when I am in North and not in Tehran for any reason, I observe what is around me, what artistic material I can work with. Despite all the difficulties that exist, I hope I can still survive. For me, one of the most attractive aspects of working in art is continuing it in this land.
من برگشتم ایران بعد از 23 سال. برگشتم ایران، نه که حالا اونجا بهم خوش نمیذاشت. میگم فرانسه رو خیلی دوست داشتم، کارم هم خیلی دوست داشتم. حالا با بالا پاییناشو دیگه آدم با هر شرکت کار میکنه.
One day I sat down and asked myself, what am I really doing? Sure, I was enjoying myself with my job, but I felt like I had nothing left to prove to myself. Overall, it took me about 3 to 4 years to contemplate this thought again and again, and gradually it was becoming real. So it took a while for me to turn it into a reality. Not getting into the details, the decision became serious and I came back. But in Iran, in Tehran, I have this love-hate relationship with the city. I almost run away from the Tehran of today, except for a few special places. I enjoy visiting restored old houses and my old neighborhood in downtown Tehran. That's where I feel like being in Tehran. Most of the city doesn't feel like home anymore. When I paint, I feel at home again, but it has nothing to do with Tehran. Maybe in a way, this is also a reaction, an escape from the city.
خیلی زیاده تحولاتی که تو این چند ساله به خصوص با اینترنت و شبکه‌های اجتماعی و مغز هممون رو درگیر کرده اون سرعتی که وجود داره این یه جور واکنشه در واقع این آرامش بهم میده تمرکز بهم میده یه جور مدیتیشن در واقع چون داری روی ریز ریز کار میکنم یه جوری هم هستش که من دیگه مثل قدیمم نمیتونم کار بکنم قدیم چشمم خیلی بهتر میده
What is there in your architecture that isn't strictly architecture, but without it, your work would be incomplete? When you walk through Guran, do you feel that restoration is something beyond just reviving a structure? Why are you drawn to working with sound? Sometimes I imagine that when you are engaged in architecture and restoration, you listen to the sounds of walls, the language of materials and textures, and the story a building carries within itself, as if it's a text that needs to be read and rewritten. Has it ever felt like that to you? Is there something in your work that makes you feel like more than just an architect, perhaps a storyteller, or even a researcher of history and folk culture?
من فاروزم. مادرم رو اسمم گذاشته بودم میثم.
My name is Faruz. My mother and family named me Meysam for as long as I can remember, and since I recognize myself, I have been in love with nature. I was in love with the forest, especially the forest. I really love the forest. Connecting with other creatures has always been easier for me than connecting with other people, because human relationships are more complex. Until I lived in the city, I experienced anger, migrants, and the dog's life where I was either busy with work I didn't like or with someone I didn't like, or I was agreeing with what I didn't like.
سگی که یا مشغول کار بودم، کاری که دوست ندارم، یا کنار کسی بودم که دوست نداشتم، یا داشتم حرفایی رو تایید میکردم که دوست نداشتم.
چند سالیه سوپر ادوبی یا همون ابرخشت سازه های خاکی که
Now I have been making super adobe or earth tech soil structures which I think are being built in many places in Iran now. This is essentially my profession. This is my skill, my primary skill that if someone asks me what my skill is, I say this. Apart from that, I try to make things by recycling pieces of pottery, glass, stone, wood, plastic, paper, and metal. Everything I make is for myself, meaning that I make it. Enjoy it for a while and wait for the first person to say, oh wow, how beautiful this is. And then I say, it's for them. Currently, I'm in Hormuz, engaged in exactly this same subject. I am also involved in designing a green township. In my opinion, art is a kind of a struggle. Art is a struggle against nothingness. All people who are artists and create art in their artwork, there are usually signs of love, pain, of loneliness, or things. And when we look at that artwork, life becomes more bearable for us because we understand that someone else in another place in the world, in another period of history, has seen things like you have, or thought like you, or been lonely like you, or been like you, just like you. I have created a playground for myself. Sometimes I do some things, and because it's my playground, I don't really take photos, nor am I, as they say, following those trends to create recognition. Because everything is passing, and so am I. And because I am in passing, I cannot carry anything with me, not even my memories, not even my artworks. I can, at the very, very, very end, carry only the burden of my own loneliness.
I turn to color, form and line. Sometimes letter on paper becomes a sound that instead of being heard must be seen. Sometimes just the movement of my hand on the page, even without words carrying meaning, suits me. But I turn to literature when I want to live in another world or perhaps find myself in another text. Yet most of the time, these are not separate. Words on paper matter not only in meaning, but also in their shape and rhythm. There are moments when a poem is not complete just by reading. It must be written, take form, have its weight felt on page. Some parts must be colored, some in black. Some meaning must intertwine together, or even a corner must be left unnoticed, as if language and image have sprung from the same root.
And if there is no name attached to the artist, it is not because they have been forgotten by time, but because in this form of art, the artist is not what matters. This continuous flow is itself a living being, multiplying and transforming, while the artist is simply one element within its environment.
Time souls.
Taran.
A Gateway Wandering Beyond. Featuring Fatemeh, Sadra Amuyi, Farouz, Shireen Moasser, Kamush. Directed and produced by Kamush. Produced by Norient.